You know, what keeps me up at night lately isn't horror movies. It's realizing how much of my life is floating around the internet. Addresses, phone numbers, my family members, my personal emails. Data brokers are collecting this stuff and selling it like it's a clearance item. That's why I'm excited to tell you about My Data Removal. They help you remove your personal info from the web, but for real. Not just hiding it, but going after the more than 200 sites and growing where your info might be exposed. They scan, they remove, and they keep you updated every month so you know what's been taken down. Identity theft, unwanted calls, someone getting a hold of your home address and family details. It's not paranoid. It's real. In fact, 1 in 3 Americans has experienced identity theft. It costs time, money, and emotional stress. My Data Removal fights back, so you don't have to. Here's what you do. Head to MyDataRemoval.com. Start with a free scan to see exactly what data about you is floating around. Then let them clean it up. Let them restore your privacy. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Clean up your data with My Data Removal. Visit MyDataRemoval.com now. Your peace of mind is worth it.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I
want
my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio slash old historic hotel in downtown La Mesa, California. This is a very small hotel room.
I'm trying to think which way the bed went.
Don't ask questions about the stains. Is my lovely wife and co-host, CFO overall, great gal, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey,
I'm on to water because this is his second episode today. Mel's going strong on a second cup of Joe.
I was just thinking maybe our son could live here for college.
Mm-hmm.
We are already paying for it.
I like the way you're thinking.
Maybe like a trundle bed, kind of.
Ooh.
Murphy bed.
I like all maybe a cot, maybe something in the corner. You know, he could hang his clothes right there. And then he just has to be out on Tuesday mornings.
That's right.
For our little podcast that could
solve all our problems.
Everybody, it's the future for Melissa and I right now. If you're listening to this, it would be Wednesday, June 12th, I think, if my math is correct, which it rarely is. Because we're doing two-a-days right now, because, you know, we got a hustling and bustling month.
Summer is here.
Summertime.
In the LBC.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Lana Del Rey song. Kidding. That's the cover. It's a Sublime song. You know what's always been a funny little moment? And somebody called this out on a meme right now. An old Sublime song. I'm not a Sublime fan. Just never smoked enough pot. And there's a line where the lovin's what I got. It goes, and I can play the guitar like a mother. Riot, and then continues on to play the lamest solo. You're like, is the guitar out of tune? I mean, if you're going to say mother effing riot, and it's not a bad solo. It sounds nice. It fits within the song.
Yeah,
it is not a riot. Let alone a mother bleeping riot. Bow, bow, ba-down, bow. Ooh, he hit two notes at the same time.
Of other bands that were rioting, like he was no Tom Morello.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. Even in the air. I'm like, this is early 90s. I'm pretty sure Guns N' Roses was still together.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. Soundgarden's over there still going. Soundgarden, yeah. Pearl Jam still, you know. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Bow, 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 bow.
And here's Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, any of our regular backseaters here, you know, two episode days, we get a little loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mel has also been drinking, so it's...
No, I haven't.
Mel, just be honest. Who are you hiding this from?
If so, I need to be honest with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want to cheers? No?
I think we cheers already.
I don't know. I don't think we did. I think we did the first episode. Cheers.
Cheers.
Here we are.
Mel's drunk.
I am not.
Drunk in love. Drunk in love.
Oh, gosh.
It's also a lot of times second episodes, anytime anything reminds me of any song lyric ever,
okay,
I'll just sing. I'll just blurt it out.
You
so
will.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to keep that under control, but no promises.
Shall we,
No, you just blew right in my face. Just...
Dude, okay, well, you just got me in the eye.
Yeah.
Give me some dates, Dustin.
Upcoming tour dates, everybody. Thanks, Florida. You were fantastic. This weekend, San Diego. Can't go back to San Diego. June 14th through 16th. And then July, Rosemont, Chicago. The cities, it's too easy to do. Huntsville, Nashville, Fort Wayne, Atlanta, Charleston, Asheville.
Charlotte,
Omaha. If you're going to Sacramento, from Oakland to Sactown, the Bay Area, and back down. Do you want me to keep doing this or not? Addison, Tacoma. Jump on it. I don't think there's an Appleton one. Austin, Louisville, the Great Salt Lake. That's a band of horses.
Wait, you just missed Boston and Appleton.
Oh, Boston, Appleton. Salt Lake City, Oxnard, Bakersfield, Raleigh, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Spokane.
We did it.
We did it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it.
Just barely.
We did it. Hooray. Guys, we have a lot that we may or may not get to today.
Okay.
But it's summertime, everybody, and you know what summer means. What are you going to do with your kids?
Yeah, a lot of children time.
Mm-hmm. Summer is like... essentially reliving the pandemic of like everybody's home, there's no school, how do we fill the time?
It's hot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest issue, because you know you kind of gotta approach it like your kids grow and change every summer. Mm-hmm. Biggest issue in our house is that we have two teenagers and one preteen.
So,
for example, last night they did a boba run mm-hmm. with their chore money mm-hmm. at 8:15.
Right.
And our 10-year-old has to go to bed. Like, she has to be asleep by 9. Mm-hmm. She doesn't sleep in.
Yeah.
And that is an issue.
Yeah.
So, like, the teenagers are nocturnal, but then we still have the 10-year-old who needs to sleep.
Yeah.
And then the cats... ruin that for everyone.
Yeah.
They wake everyone up. They wake up too early. Mm-hmm. They want to get in. They want to get out.
Yeah.
And as I've said to you before, if I'm going to sleep, mm-hmm. I have to, my window is 11:30 to 7:30.
Yes.
And that is when no one in the house will hopefully bother me.
Right.
Teenagers will be home. Mm-hmm. The 10-year-old will be asleep still.
Yeah.
And she did get in our bed last night, so I don't even know what I'm talking about.
The
10-year-old. Yes.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
At 3, she was in our bed last night.
And you got her out?
And I got her a banana, and she went back to bed. I forgot about that.
At least she's a healthy late-night eater.
Late-night snack. Banana. But it's just young adults do not have the same lifestyle as their working parents.
Mm.
And I know we don't have the same lifestyle as like 9-to-5ers.
Mm-hmm.
But they stay up late. They do their homework late at night. They talk to their friends late at night.
They talk to you late at night.
They cook in the kitchen late at mm-hmm. night. It's all loud and late.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a struggle. My 14-year-old was really mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was telling her to go to bed at 10:45
mm-hmm.
last night.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Well, one of the nice things about having teenagers is that they love you and they show that through hatred. They communicate. Teens love to communicate love through just disrespect and a general sense of, I wish you didn't exist.
And you're as a parent, you're supposed to not take that personally because
right.
it's the angst.
Yeah.
But you still do have to say, like, you have to go to bed.
You have to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm not gaslighting you. You need to go to bed. That's...
It's just everyone's asleep but you, and you need sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I'm annoying.
Yeah.
I know I'm annoying. Nobody wants to be told to go to bed.
Yeah.
But so it's a timeless tradition. The
tale is old as time.
And that's what...
You smell like a beast.
You don't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I have to get up and work.
1 hour skincare routine.
You don't have a blemish on your face. Yeah. $100 in oils and serums.
Lotions and potions. It's... Oh,
but
gosh.
That's what
summer galore.
That's what summer is. And as I have told my friends, curfew is your son's in the In-N-Out drive-thru.
Yes.
At curfew. And you're like, that's not, you're not home.
If you want to know.
In fact, you have five friends to drop off
exactly
at their
right.
homes
yes.
before you get home.
Yes. If you want to know.
You'll be home tomorrow.
True. If you want to know exactly what it's like to raise a teenager, it's telling them that they shouldn't do an hour-long skincare routine with about $200 of products,
mm-hmm.
and then them telling you that you're being unreasonable, that you're crazy for going, I don't know, you're 14, an hour seems like a lot. And I don't think you need to put bee pollen on your skin at 14. You believed in Santa 24 months ago. This seems like a jump in maturation. You are willing to spend every dollar that you've ever earned or were given for any holiday for an anti-aging cream. And you're like, you're 14. You can't age. You
it's impossible.
Can't. And
it's
actually,
impossible.
At your age, it's probably best if you look a little older, actually. Like a 14-year-old's wanting to look young, you're like, all right, Peter Pan, I think it's time to grow up. The skincare routine mm-hmm. for the teenage girl, it's, what are we doing? Stop selling this to them.
It's money.
I know it's money. I know, mm-hmm. I understand the concept of capitalism.
Totally.
But we used to sell them like magazines or clothes or like stuff they needed or what they'd read or stuff. Like the idea that you're just pumping in this vanity into you're trying to convince a girl of how perfect her face has to be. And that face masks a brain that's not even going to develop for 9 more years. No putting cream on your face till your brain's formed. That
would be amazing.
Can that be a law?
But I mean, you got to think how many influencers they're watching a day.
Yeah.
You know, do these skincare routines.
I don't get it. I don't understand. You're like, why are we pumping in vanity into young women? I mean, society has already put this incredible pressure on them that like you are how good you look. And then the internet is just full of influencers going, yes, that's correct. And this is how you look that good, which I understand has always existed. But mm-hmm. if there is one thing that I could take off of TikTok, it is the skincare influencer. I want them off the app. I'll have the app ban just for that reason. You can keep all the other crap on there. You got to take the skincare influencer telling a 10-year-old that a $200 bee pollen anti-aging cream is this season's must have.
Well, it's just, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's, it doesn't
But they're
even...
getting a promo code. They're getting a little kickback.
Yeah.
They can write off all their skincare routine because they're an entrepreneur.
If you're going to teach a young human to put an hour into anything, their skincare doesn't break the top 100.
Right.
Go exercise. Go read. Go draw. Mm-hmm. Go climb a tree. Go play in traffic. Go playing in traffic will teach a 10-year-old better life lessons than having an hour skincare routine. Because mm-hmm. you learn that life's hard out here. That there are more important things than wrinkles under your eyes. I can't. Wash your face. Okay. Wash your face. Heck, put a little moisturizer on there. Go to bed. You're 14. You look great. Mm-hmm. You look great, man. Mm-hmm. I can't. I got to take out a loan.
You're like,
you know what? I do need a Sephora credit card for sure. Let me start getting some Sephora points. Honey, you get college or collagen. Those are your choices.
Our daughter went to Sephora, used my phone number, and got my birthday freebie.
I mean, if she would put half that amount of work into her study, she would be the valedictorian. Anyways, what I'm saying is we're locked in with these kids for the summer. And we got some trips coming up, mm-hmm. and it's just hard to entertain teens because anytime somebody's advertised as like fun for the whole family, what that means is the teens will hate this, right? The teens will just like, we're going to, even if we like it, we can't show you that we like it.
I think, the teens are a hard demo. They're a hard demo to get into. Our son loves travel. So, so he enjoys
right
the trips, and clearly that's a perk of our work and lifestyle is taking them on these trips.
And that went so well in Des Moines last week, and they're very excited to get on a Southwest flight to Chicago in a couple weeks.
I have one day this summer that I'm dreading, mm-hmm. and that is the day that I fly all three children by myself to Atlanta. Yeah.
Hot Atlanta.
And that is not
going to be
a good day for
Mel. We volunteer at Hope Heals every year, camp out in Alabama. Not easy to get to Alabama, but I'm out with Bergetzi the whole 10 days before. Yeah. And so I'm flying from Chicago and meeting you guys in Atlanta.
And it's just nice, like, when we take in our two cats and Bunny to get boarded.
Yeah.
It's nice to have another adult.
Yes.
Because
it's
about eight things you have to carry.
Plus, I'm easy to travel with. Like,
We just get in line behind you.
Exactly.
And you just check us all in.
I check everyone in. I give everyone, there's no boarding passes. When things go wrong, like they did in Denver, I'm mm-hmm. on it. I'll find our way. I got the stuff. We walk into the rental car. We just find our spot.
You have all the codes and apps. And I have some of them too, but I more am just, I kind of focus on Claire. And you focus on all the scanning the apps. And so when we're down one adult, we'll make it.
Yeah.
There's just always an event or a thing. I mean, it's not going to be easy coming off 10 solo days without you here.
I mean, I'm going to
in San Diego.
And I'm going 10 solo days to mm-hmm. camp.
Yeah,
I'm going to be in rough shape.
And
I think I think I'm going to be on a bus that whole time too. I'm going to go a solid 3 weeks without a good shower, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And also, sometimes we bookend our service trip with fun destination.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that this time. And
we've southed pretty hard. We've Nashville, we've Memphis, we've Atlanta. They've gotten it. This one, we're just going in, boom. I think we're seeing your sister before we leave.
But we'll But we do have friends at camp. That's,
yeah. No, our kids love the camp. It's a good time.
But it is also hot and a lot of work.
I mean, it's Alabama in July.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's it's so hot. And I was like, do you guys not know about California? It's really, really mild during the summer. I actually appreciate our summers more than any other time of the year because I travel so much and everywhere I go during the summer is awful. Humidity is everywhere. Like, pretty much the West Coast to me is the only tolerable spot during the fall because everything is either too hot, like in the desert, or it's humid, you know? Like
the
mountains
fall?
Are great too. I'm sorry, in the summer.
Summer? Okay.
But so do some travel. Some other things that we want to, we're kind of getting into some summer season stuff. There's been some topics that we've been wanting to talk about for a while. One is concerts. We're you know, Mel and I got a lot of concerts coming up. We're big concert goers. We saw in, you know, the last couple of months, we saw Group Love. We saw Drew Holcomb. We saw the Cold War Kids. Did we get another one in there? I think there might have been. We went to a big comedy show. If we make it back in time, we're going to go see Cage the Elephant. We are trying to go see Head in the Heart at Red Rocks for our anniversary. We got some, we might, when we're in New York, Dashboards in New York, we might just go have a cry night. It would be a good little, you know.
We're seeing the National again.
We're seeing the National again, but I think we might go to Foo Fighters, and people are like, that's a lot of money. Guys, my job has a couple perks, and one of them tends to be tickets. And the ones that I do pay for are like not a surf in the fall, and we're like, that's going to be a pretty reasonable ticket, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you took Claire, this is a while back, to her first concert.
Yeah.
You took her to one of her favorite art, probably her very favorite artist, M by Hold.
We saw M by Hold on her first headlining tour.
Which is crazy because she's had a couple hits.
Yeah, and it was her last tour, last city of the tour, and she's from like LA, San Diego. Like she went to.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
She went to USC.
Oh.
Or UCSD? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, there's no way to know.
I don't know.
Either.
But she. It was amazing because M by Hold's like a singer-songwriter. She had a couple hits during the pandemic. She talks a lot about mental health and, you know.
Oh, she went to UCSD.
Yeah. Breakups. And so she was at SOMA, which I'd never been to.
She also competed in the NCAA fencing and received an All-American honor in 2019.
Now, that's a stat.
Oh, my gosh.
That is crazy.
I did not know that.
Her first song she wrote when she was 7. It was a patriotic song called America Home. Behold, attended the University of California SD, where she competed in NCAA fencing and received an NCAA All-American honors. She's an All-American fencer.
No way.
Whoa, this rules.
She did not mention that.
She studied classical and jazz piano.
Yeah, she's a great musician.
Is she?
And
yeah.
Again, I'm no one to compare to, in the sense I don't know music like musicians, but she played the piano, she played the ukulele, sang. I don't know. She did great.
Ukulele is a deceptive instrument because my kids have all been like, I think I'm going to learn how to play the ukulele for this song. I was like, you have to. It's a guitar. I know it looks real easy.
And it's a different guitar.
It's a different
it's
guitar.
It's not the same as a normal guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So a whole different set of notes. You're not going to just pick that up.
Yeah. I figured out, I'm like, oh, I can play the top 2 strings and do stuff. But as a guitar player, I'm like, I have to learn this instrument.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whole new set of notes. So you took, it was at SOMA. It was general admission. There was no seating. And so it was a very reasonable concert, and it was her Christmas present. So we did the VIP thing, mostly so she could get the picture with her, do the Q&A, but it was more so to secure good seating, because the problem when you take a kid to a general admission show, if they're in the back, they can't see. And Mel is strong, but not hold a 10-year-old on her shoulders for an hour and a half strong.
So instead, I stood in the front row for 5 hours.
Yes. You really limited your fluids.
I did not drink anything at that show.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Which is tough.
So we got in line. We were at the back of the line of the meet and greet, waiting outside, quite windy. It was like 5:30. We get in. We are like third row, just standing.
Yeah.
Amazing meet and greet. She did about 3 or 4 songs. Amazing.
Yeah.
Claire asked a couple questions. It was wonderful.
It was really sweet.
And all of her fans that were there, really kind, really supportive, mostly women, like quite a few mother-daughter duos like ourselves. So after the meet and greet, I sent Claire to the merch table with my credit card. She's 10.
Yeah.
She got herself a shirt, came back with the shirt, and I think we took turns doing a bathroom break. But otherwise, I stood manning that position. The first guy played for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then they got to set up the next band.
Hey,
and
take it from an opener, guys. Limit your opening time. People, leave them wanting a little more.
It was fine, but it was he did a good job, but I don't think M took the stage until about 9:30.
Yeah.
And so spirits were getting low.
Yes.
Because we didn't have anything like water.
Yeah.
But we did make it. It was touch and go there before she came on stage. I was like, hey, we can leave whenever you want. Yeah. It's your concert.
My experience is most that feeling goes away as soon as the headliner comes on stage.
And it did. It did. But there were girls around us who were just about at their breaking point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And some of the moms, like, they did the whole Taylor Swift thing. So there were some Swifties there.
You stay here. I'll go get in the merch line.
There were some Swifties there. They were nice, kind young women there and moms. Mm-hmm. And we had a blast. You know, Claire did heart hands to M. Byhold, and she, like, joined heart hands with Claire. We got some awesome videos. She just loved it. Everything was closed after the concert, so we hit up In-N-Out, late night In-N-Out.
Yep.
Because we were exhausted and hungry.
And you're in Sports Arena, baby. One of my least favorite areas in San Diego.
So, you know, it was an undertaking. I had taken the big kids to an arena concert for their first concert.
Lizzo, before. Yeah.
But that was tough for Gloria because it's like a Padres game, but everyone's standing, and she wasn't ready for the lines and how loud it was, and she wanted a shirt, and that took forever. She wasn't ready. Like, I tried to prepare Claire, and you can't really prepare someone for an arena concert or a small venue concert.
Yeah, if you don't know what to expect, you know. It's a lot of, like, kind of flying. There's a lot of lines. There's a lot of waiting.
A lot of waiting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But overall, it was as best first concert experience as we could have for Claire. And in general, we try to, you know, if the kids don't want stuff for Christmas, we're like, great, let's do an experience. And so that's what we did. But it is like, it's, you know, it's a commitment.
Huge you're commitment.
Like, okay, that's going to be a day.
Yeah.
And for the parent.
That's what I'm saying. If you're looking
and you're like, it would have been easier just to buy you a box of Legos. However, you don't just buy stuff to buy stuff.
You don't buy stuff just to buy stuff. And one of the nice things, this is the first time we've done this where, like, we did that for holidays. We'll buy them kind of a future experience.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's a core memory. Maybe not.
It's a core memory.
Maybe not.
We did buy, quote unquote, buy tickets for VidCon for Claire. And now we're trying to buy her out. Be like, or you could just get that money. And then we don't have to take you to VidCon, which looks like a whole thing.
Well, it just...
It's a hotel.
Now
a
you're traveling that whole 2 weeks. So we're just like...
To pay for those VidCon tickets. No, we haven't actually bought them. So anyways...
Anyway.
I think taking your kids to a concert is a great summer activity or year-round one. Especially when, you know, you can kind of get that, like, I think it was like a $25 ticket.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
An emerging artist, you support... she's a wonderful artist.
Yeah,
her music has meant a lot to us and to Claire, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And so you're glad to do that.
Yeah.
Claire asked her about a song lyric.
Yeah.
Like, about, like, and it was just, they had an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And she did, like, a shout out to all the choir kids.
Yeah.
You know, which
that's
is Claire.
Fun.
Claire's a choir kid.
What about all the fencing kids? Did she bring that up?
She didn't bring up fencing.
That's so interesting.
She's tried it and she's like, oh, yeah. not a lot of you out here.
No, so, she was very wonderful to her fans. Yeah.
That's great. You love
amazing.
It.
Yeah.
This parlays into a concert etiquette discussion, which I'm very excited to do this with the group. Mm-hmm. This got posted on Nextdoor.
Our favorite app.
Yeah. I'm gonna reveal the band later because Andy will get a real kick out of who the band is. But last night at a concert, two women who were up and dancing at their seats were told to sit down by the people behind them. Please don't ask people to stop dancing. Instead, just get up and dance yourself. When the guest behind the dancers jumped over her seat and pulled the dancer's hair, security intervened. This really escalated. The dancers left on their own accord, and security ejected the seat jumper. Artists performing would rather have fans dancing than leaving because their good time was ruined by people who don't want to dance. Have a good time at concerts, and let everyone else have a good time, too. So this raises the question. I think this is an interesting question. What is proper etiquette for standing at a concert when the people behind you are sitting?
Depends on the band.
Like, I know.
I think that dictates mm-hmm. it. I mean, if you're at, obviously, I mean, always concerts or musical experiences, mm-hmm. obviously you're not going to stand in front of someone sitting at a symphony.
Yeah. That's
right?
True. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe mm-hmm. like the ballads or the slow songs, like if there's those moments that they feel like everything goes on a hush.
Yeah.
You see that happen in a room and they're like, oh, this is a good time to sit. We'll get a little storytelling in.
Yep.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But you got to be in it.
Yep.
You got to know.
Yep. Mel?
I want to stand at a concert.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
not all of them. You didn't want to stand at Damien Rice. Nobody stood at Damien
Rice. Nobody stood.
I mean, that's not.
Yeah.
That's an example.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's not like.
Yeah. Damien's like.
It's not a lot of twerking.
I gotta
at Damien Rice.
Hang on every note.
Yeah.
You know.
It's great. Great live show.
So, you're right. Yeah, but in general, I'm there to move around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, a concert and a sporting game are the same. You paid for that seat, and you can stand at your seat. It might be annoying to the person behind you, but you're allowed to stand at any time of that concert that you want, and any time of that sporting game that you want. That's just how it goes. I'll tell you, as someone who's on the stage. As a comic, I don't want you to stand, but we're not a thing you stand at. But I do want you to be as involved as possible. And I know bands want you to stand.
It's an exchange.
Yeah.
You know?
Years ago, we went and saw The Decemberist at the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. And we're all on blankets in like a field. And they were unhappy about it. They said something. They're like, I'm just playing for people at a picnic. They want you to be as into this as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think you're allowed to stand, you know? I think you're, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. I think we should shift into which concerts are you allowed to pull hair in.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah.
Is there an element of if it's dark?
Well,
if it's dark, you can stand? Or
I don't know, man.
I agree with you.
There's certain concerts that, you're going to, like, if you went and see, say, Elton John, we knew when it was time to sit and stand.
Yeah.
We just, then the song kind of communicates it to you.
Yeah. Who's sitting during Saturday night?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of old people. They were still sitting, but they can't get mad at us for standing, you know?
Right.
Also, this was, the concert was a dual headliner of Bad Religion and Social Distortion.
I think I saw it and I couldn't remember. I'm like, oh wait, I think I saw some Brooklyn Vegan or something. That's so funny.
I can't believe it.
I'm going for a walk. Sit down.
Oh, so good.
One place where maybe a little hair pulling would be okay.
Apparently not.
Generator. I mean, that's honestly, like, I think it's funny that Bad Religion is doing shows where there are seats now.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
I know.
We're old.
Yeah.
There was this meme going around this TikTok mm-hmm. that went viral, and it was like, he's like, you know, I was trying to figure out why everybody was so old at the Dave Matthews concert. And then it hit me. Oh, I'm this old.
What's wild is Brett Gurewitz, the guitar player for Bad Religion, was talking about how in his age, he's like, it's really bizarre to see a lot of conservatives come up and be like, yeah, man, you guys are punk rock. And like that side of it is like the punk, like kind of thinking in the space now that like Trump is like a punk figure.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this really is like, I mean, the same thing was when people were surprised, a lot of like conservative voices really love Rage. And then they're surprised that Rage is liberal. And Rage is like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? This is what, do you not remember all the George Bush stuff back in the day? I mean, this was the Dick Cheney video. Like, did you not remember? This is who we are. This is what we do, you know?
Yeah.
It is, you know. Anyways,
can't pull out their shows now.
Yeah, so concerts we recommend. Listen, we're just trying to kill some time during the summer. I mean, June.
Well, I mean, a concert can really be something to look forward to.
Yeah,
and like for example, with Claire, that show was end of March.
Yeah,
and she was gifted it for Christmas, so it's a fun memory. It's a fun night out.
Yeah,
and I do think there is something. I mean, just as like performing artists, like experiencing live music,
yeah,
can be amazing.
Totally agree. And yeah, I think that this parlays into some, it depending on the artist that you want to see, it can be like affordable, because some of this other stuff, like going to a baseball game, is crazy expensive right now. It's so you're like, and I think that this you know,
we have a stadium that's just gotten nicer and nicer.
Yeah
And I don't know if they still have those Sunday. They used to have some Sunday tickets that were pretty affordable.
Yeah.
But if you have to eat with your family of five, like a meal or two.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hundreds. Yeah. Hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm. It's like a theme park. Like,
well,
it's
parlays in nicely because I think that there's like, based on a couple of new releases, a lot of people are asking the question, like, why are movies bombing? And one of them is it's just so expensive to take your family to the movies. It's a very, I mean, at $15, $20 a piece ticket. So we're near a family of five. We're approaching $100 before we get in the door. Before,
that's crazy.
I mean, you're just like, I don't know. And then everything streams so fast. You're like, do I need to see it now? I feel like I could see Inside Out 2 in
2 weeks.
Inside the comforts of my own home in a month. I'm not like dying to see this. Like, dude, you got to see Inside Out 2 on the big screen. You got to experience it. It's not exactly Avatar, you know, like, got to experience it live. Yeah.
Yeah. The surround, the Dolby surround sound, you're like, whatever.
I don't know.
I enjoy a movie, but.
We're like once a year a family movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think maybe some of that is, I mean, sometimes the kids will go see a movie with their friends.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean,
I think what it is the you know, for me, part of the reason that our family doesn't see a lot of movies is the movies that, first off, no one can agree on the movie. That's problem number one.
Yeah.
The last time we went to the movies was on Mother's Day, and we were a group of seven all together, and we saw three different movies.
We saw two
different movies.
We almost saw three.
We split up because we're like, you want to see this and you want this. That happened too.
Planet of the Apes is not for 10-year-olds.
That happened when we went and saw Guardians a year ago too. We're like, we're here seeing different movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard enough to get everyone to agree on the movie, and then you're like, this is so expensive. Like, And the movies that we would agree on, nobody's like, dude, we got to see that in theater. It's not, the experience isn't worth it, you know? But movies are bombing. Furiosa is bombing. And that, like, that was like Mad Max, a proven franchise. And it had like the lowest like Memorial Day opening since like the 80s. It has Chris Hemsworth and Anna Joy Taylor, like stars in it, and Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
and like
tested. Stars.
Yeah, and a defined property, and it's apparently actually a good movie. Like, people are liking it, but nobody's seeing it. And it couldn't have been marketed more. I mean, I saw the Furiosa advertising everywhere.
I wonder what, I don't know. I mean, it's just streaming, right?
I think it's streaming. I think it's expensive to go to movies. And we've already put our money into, like, entertainment by all these streaming services.
Yeah.
And so we're like, I'm already paying to see that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll wait. I'm already paying it. Why am I going to see it now?
I mean, it's probably like lowest on the totem pole for the group entertainment. You know,
because
now we have everything's personal entertainment, and I don't know that they'll fill the gap. Like, because what else can you do to a movie that suddenly makes it that much better as a group?
Yeah.
It's like an escape room meets a movie.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
Like, what's next? Or CrossFit in a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, almost every movie that I go
with. Well, they did dive in to swim.
Yes.
And swim and watch a movie.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm kind of into that.
Yeah. listen, I, like, there was, like, every movie I've seen, even ones I like, about an hour in, I was like, I should probably check my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on?
I actually kind of like that about movies in a theater is it's immersive.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things about when your whole family's there, you know you don't have anything to check. You're like, all right, everybody's accounted for.
That was actually, I said this to you at your Iowa show, because I haven't been to one of your live shows in a minute.
Yeah.
Like Seattle in March,
mm-hmm.
or February or March. I saw a guy pacing in the back on the phone. And I was like, that is a babysitter.
Yes.
He is solving a problem during the show.
Yeah.
100%. And or a teenager.
Yeah.
And I respected that.
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got it. You're like, I'm going to post the clip soon. I had a crowd work moment where there was a girl on her phone, a woman on her phone in the front row. And she's like, sorry. I was like, don't apologize. You probably got to deal with that. And it was a 13-year-old who couldn't find her basketball jersey. I was like, yeah, yep, 100%. That's my fan base. I know exactly who you are, and it's a miracle that you made it out here. So,
it's in the dryer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So concerts, weddings, comedy shows.
Yeah.
Pretty reasonable ticket. Yeah. But
hey, you can go to a movie for the price of a comedy show.
There you go.
Essentially.
For the anything to get your kids to not beg for boba all day long. Anything. We're not even like, man, it's interesting because as a kid you loved summer break, and then I guess I didn't realize now how much my dad probably hated summer break.
I mean, I remember.
Well, no, okay. Can I intervene?
Sure.
Say what you're going to say, and then I'll say what I'm going to say.
No, I was just going to say that I remember one day, because I, four kid family, military family, my mom stayed home with us.
Yeah.
And yeah. I remember one time we went to the pool and we were just like, it was just full.
Yeah.
It was like a koi pond. Like, it was a full pool.
A koi pond. And so funny.
A full public pool on a military base. And we were just like bored.
Yes.
Because you can't swim if it's just like, you know, like you're just like, and I remember, I think my mom was frustrated because she's like, go swim. And then you're just like tired and hot.
Right, right.
And overstimulated by like this full pool.
Right, right.
And that is summer break, spring break, Christmas break.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I'm trying to like give you an activity. I'm trying to supervise your screen time. I'm trying to make sure you're rested and you're not, you sunburn
well,
yourself.
And I think that
and
that's
hydrated. And are you going to forget all your math and you'd never read a book this summer and I also do have to pull up my laptop and work
right
and you're all different stages 100%. And ages and
100% and I think that you're speaking to something that I wanted to talk about, like this current generation of parents is the first generation of parents that it gets to summer and we look at our kids like, oh, we have to do something with you. Like, we have to be involved in your... We're the first generation of parents that it gets to summer break and like, oh, we have to be involved in your lives.
It's,
it's
not uncommon for teenagers to be at day camps.
Yes.
As helpers.
Yes.
Like...
Our parents...
That wasn't
exactly.
That
wasn't a thing. Our parents, when we were kids, summer would hit and that would affect our parents' life in no way whatsoever. Because... They didn't care. They weren't supervising us. Their lives did not alter in any way whatsoever. They went to work. They didn't go to work. They did whatever they did. They were not planning activities. They were not doing anything for us. They were not supervising us. There was no sidewalk chalk. If we were, there was no crafts. If we were lucky, they would turn the sprinkler on. Because that was entertainment back in the day, which is like, here's a stream, go jump. And you would jump for hours.
Yes.
You would jump through 8 streams of water. Your legs are all itchy. Yeah.
If you're lucky, you had a slip and slide.
Yeah, or if you were poor, you had a tarp.
Yeah.
And if you were adventurous and poor, you had a tarp and the soap. And then you were cooking. And then you just left. And you would go out. And you would have this adventure. You had like 10 hours. And you would meet strangers. And you would discover weird things in the woods. And you would get in a fight. And you would get scars. And you would come home. And your parents knew none of it. They had no idea of this. You lived a Huck Finn day every day. And they're like, what did you do today? You're like, I jumped off the school roof. And now I'm home. And they're like, that's fine. And now we're like involved in their lives because we know that was not good that we did that. So now
we're like, before you get on screens, you have to do 30 minutes of creative time. Two household chores.
Yes.
30 minutes of outside activity.
Yes. And then they'll
And then you can sit on your iPad from 10:30 to 6:30.
And they get on their devices and play Fortnite and Minecraft, and we lived that. We were out chasing people and building things with blocks and little shelters and shooting things at our friends. We lived Fortnite and Minecraft every day of summer until they posted the school list. And you're like, and then
we ran to the elementary school.
Every day.
I got the mean teacher.
Yes, exactly. Dang it. Yeah, you were just like, what did you do today? You're like, oh, I learned how to drive a four-wheeler. What? Where'd you find a four-wheeler? Don't ask questions, Father.
He didn't.
I forged a new friendship in the ravine. We have new alliances.
Smashed a snake with a stick.
Yeah. Here it is. Yes. But now we as parents are just like... but we knew, that's what I'm saying, we're retroactively responding like, he probably shouldn't have done that. We needed some supervision. We can't just like, we're limping home every day with a splint, you know, and, you know, for and you're like, we met, you would meet, you're like, oh, we ran into the random guy who lives behind the school. Taught us how to roast marshmallows. You know, harass some people on the golf course. So anyways, it is a total adjustment that now, like, and now our kids, they have the audacity to tell us that they're bored. And you're like, I would never mention boredom to my dad. Never.
Because you had a yard full of trees.
Exactly. And it would just be like...
That the leaves came down.
First off, they do the like, hi, board, I'm dad. Nice to meet you. That was a classic dad line of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, I'll make you not bored. And then it would just be chores. Mm-hmm. And now you're chopping down a tree. And you're like, you know what? Me and my friend are just going to go chop down a different tree and it's going to feel different. Because it's not chores. What I'm saying is it's once you get into summer break anymore, it's hard to know who's going to have the higher screen times, the parents or the kids. Okay, we got to do some wedding stuff, Mel. Or do we want to save that? We could save the wedding stuff for another time.
We can save it.
Let's save the wedding stuff for another time. I didn't do the weekend recap of my night last night at the store.
Let's do that. It's perfect.
So I had a funny experience last night. So
let's live vicariously through you, Dustin.
Oh. I got a text from Emily, the booker at the Comedy Store, when we were in Des Moines. And she was like, hey, do you want to be our secret headliner on Monday in the Belly Room. If you don't know anything about the Comedy Store, it's one of the three Sunset Clubs, the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store, and the Hollywood Improv. And the store has three comedy rooms. There's the main room, the OR, the original room, and then the Belly Room. The Belly Room is the smaller one upstairs. I think it seats like 50, 75 people, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they do these things every once in a while, like secret headliner. And people just buy tickets. Mm-hmm. And I Monday was night. Very surprised to be asked to do this because I'm like, I don't feel famous enough for this. I feel like this crowd is going to be a bit let down that Dave Chappelle doesn't walk out because the secret headliner stuff started with Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. other comics have done it since, you know, so they don't necessarily know who's going to walk out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Emily very graciously offered to do it, and, you know, the pay was good, especially for a Monday, and so I drove up and had a great time. But I will say it was I was talking to the comics about it, and then I was texting Aaron Weber and Lucy today about it. What do I do, 300 shows a year for the last 12 years, 12, 24, how many, what's that? What's 12 times 300? Anyone?
36. 12 times 3 is 36.
We're 3,000, right? 4,000.
That would be close to 4,000.
We're sneaking up on 4,000 shows for me, sets, times I've gotten on stage, if my math is correct, and it usually isn't. new little catchphrase there. Mm-hmm. I've never had the experience of walking to stage and people being disappointed. Like, I guess I've had similar versions of it where they don't know that there's an opener
for a famous headliner.
Or for Nate mm-hmm. or Chris back in the day. Sometimes people, especially I think this with like Tay, who, Tay's a bad example. When people
a fan base that doesn't follow a lot of comics.
Who might not even know that there's an opener.
This might be their first comedy show.
A lot of times people don't know anything about stand-up. Mm-hmm. They don't know that there's going to be openers. They don't know what the flow is going to be like, whatever it may be. But the feeling, that feeling is different because they're realizing there's an opener, mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. oh, this isn't a famous surprise. And that was a very unique thing where people were like kind of getting hyped. They're like, you know who your secret headliner is? And then I'm like, hi. And it was a very funny, just like, listen, guys, I'm also disappointed I'm not more famous. Mm-hmm. We share that mm-hmm. in common right now. And Keith Johnson and Irene too and Alex Hanna, they all did spots before me. And Keith was like, hey, just to let you guys know, it's not Chappelle, which was like kind of
nice
favor mm-hmm. of him to do.
Mm-hmm. Like, let's get these expectations.
And that's what it is. It's
just keep an open mind.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm like an expectations manager. I like really, I'm kind mm-hmm. of always that in mind. I'm really conscious of that during crowds and stuff. And I feel like that's when I feel like I have a real sense for when crowds are like the show's longer than it needs to be or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was a very entirely unique experience where people were like, had bought a ticket. It wasn't.
It's like one of those surprise bags the kids like.
Yes, that's hilarious. Gosh, I wish I would have thought about that. I wish I would have thought
like,
about.
I already have this figurine.
I'm a blind box reveal, and I was like, and it was a funny moment because I was like, I know you guys are like, gosh, I haven't even heard of this guy, and I was like, I have fans. I like it's a legitimate thing, but I understand. I sell tickets. I'm like a thing to a few of you. But most of, and then I just do some of the old, like, I look like I'm sitting here to shut this event down, and that crushed. And mm-hmm. and then we really settled in, and we actually had a great time. And then I had an incredible experience of going from a crowd that was disappointed that I wasn't more famous, but then watching them, like, discover me, mm-hmm. like, totally anew. Like, because the store brings in.
Because you didn't have your fans there.
I had no fans there.
Yeah.
I had no. And I did a full hour with them.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, like, I don't, like, I had every opportunity. It was a really, it's really kind of cool that Emily does that because, and shout out to Emily, because it's, A, I get the door, so it's a nice deal. And B, you kind of have this captive audience for an hour who's like, I'm already here. I'll give him a chance. And so you come out bang, like swinging, like boom, 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 boom. Like, this is me here in a, and just try and hook
establish them. Establish yourself, yeah.
But it was funny because the most common question after the show as they left the belly room was, what was your name again? Because it wasn't posted anywhere. It wasn't, there was no way to find it. And so at the end, I was just, it ended up being great and a huge response. And it was great. And there was a lot of, and that's nice to have that set in front of a comics and stuff too. But it was
What was the demo? Like, who goes to the belly room on a Monday
there
night?
There wasn't a demo. It was a totally diverse in crowd in the sense that there were people who were hoping for a famous person, sure. There was also like, yeah, let's go to comedy. Let's see what this is about. There's also the store has a lot of tourists.
Yeah, so it's not locals. It's more like, let's go to Hollywood.
No, they really broke over the California clean joke which has added stuff to that. Yeah, you know, I'm California sober. I've stretched it out now. I only do weed.
You're gonna do the whole joke here?
No. Okay. No, I'm not gonna do it. Like, come on, Dustin.
Save it, Dustin.
No. I did it on the pod originally. Yeah. It was a pod joke.
I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah. No. Forgot. Weed. And I slow it down. Anxiety meds, sleeping aid. It kind of starts to build a little bit. Ketamine. I added ketamine and Ozempic. That's it. Clean living for me. It's just green juice and every once in a while shrooms. Clean living. No toxic. It's a very, I think that we're going to get the film version of that in San Diego because that's like a joke that doesn't go in the act. That's like a throwaway joke, but
yeah,
it was fun. Thank you, Comedy Store, for having me. And if you're in the LA area, I have no more shows for you until November, and that's in Oxnard, which is not really the LA area, but I'm doing a lot of Cali coming up. I've got Bakersfield in there. We've got Oxnard. We've got SF. We've got Sacramento.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We stayed pretty on the rails for our second episode day.
We did.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, folks, we want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. That is our $25 a month and up patrons. Thanks so much for being a part of this podcast. Thanks, guys. Those people are
Avril Griffith,
Adam Bush,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Gary Teague,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Eibling,
Damaris Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jessica Hanrahan,
Joshua and Nikki Platt,
Jordan Cowan.
I like when we get the couples. The couples are fun. I mean, everybody else, they can get in here too. Juliana Smith,
Lori Amos,
Matt and Sam Slazdom. I got another couple one. I'm getting all the couples.
Michelle Castle.
Again, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt.
Nicole Carroz.
Rachel Wilson, who was one person but has a part, and they came and saw me in Fort Collins. You guys are the best. You get this like the fourth time. They always have different merch. They were wearing the dad bod. They had overwhelmed stuff. They are the best.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Stephen Mina.
And Tiffany Payne. Thanks so much for being the best, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I forgot my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.